Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, M, content creator, podcaster, mom of two. As women, we go through so many different seasons of life, changes, transitions, those big moves. This feeling of connectedness is something I feel like we need more of to help us through those seasons. And to be able to tap into that, no matter where you are in the world, it's not easy. And my hope is that this podcast can be even a sliver of that for you. So with that, here's a new season of The Big Move. My next guests are the incredible duo that is Dana and Julie. They are founders, best friends, moms, and owners of the Granola Bar Hospitality Group, where they preside over 6 cafes, a food truck, restaurant consultancy, and a new Manhattan location. I've gotten to know these ladies during my last year out in Connecticut, frequenting their coffee shops. Get the Turkish latte. It is so damn good. And this particular episode marks a huge milestone in their business. They've hit their 10-year mark in the creation of the Granola Bar, and their business has come full circle with a new location opening on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. So many great career and motherhood tips, quips, and just overall good energy from these two women. So I'm excited to share the chat with you now. Dana and Julie, hi, and welcome to the Big Move podcast.
Thank you for having us. Good to see you.
Thank you for being here. This has been a long time coming. I'm so happy we're doing this. We were just talking about this before we hit record. I'm moving to Westport. You are the Westport ladies, the gurus. I have so much to like learn from you both. And anyways, just excited to like finally have this chat and just dive into everything with you.
We're ready. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Amazing. So for audience members that might not know who you are, do you mind giving us a quick little backdrop on who you are and what you're all about?
Oh boy. Go ahead, Dana.
I'm Dana. And that's Julie. We are the co-founders of the Granola Bar, which launched exactly 10 years ago. We're about to hit our 10-year milestone in December, which we're super, I think, proud of ourselves.
Very.
And we are also co-founders of Granola Girls, which is our Instagram handle. And, during the course of the year, oftentimes we're very active, and then sometimes we're not so
on
active.
Our Instagram.
Yeah. But terrible. We're always active in life, just not so much on Instagram.
Yeah. So Dana and I met in 2000 and I don't know,
like 9 or 10.
And from there, just started working together. So that's our history, but we can get into it. But yes, we are heading into our 10-year anniversary, 12 years of working together.
Yeah.
And we still like each other, or at least I still like her.
And I said,
thank you.
And you still like each other. This is good news. And I have all of the questions around just your career background, but right, also the dynamic of working with your bestie. I'm going to call you like, best friends, just by knowing you guys for the brief period that I have.
We are best, but we didn't start that way. So we worked together first, and then we like grew into besties once we started working together. So a lot of people say like, what's it like back in 2013? What's it like working with your best friend? And I was like, I'll let you know, because we just met, and that was kind of how our relationship started through work.
Okay. Got it. Got it.
Yeah.
And also congratulations on 10 years. What brilliant timing of having this chat. So to back up, I love to ask all my guests, like, what is your big move? Has there been a pivotal turning point that comes to mind when you're talking about your story?
Mm. Yes. Yes. I mean, there have been many big moves, but the first one.
I would say the pivotal moment was, and I don't know if I speak for you, but
you
I think I do.
You always do.
Julie and I separately, we're not a couple, but we both moved from New York City to the suburbs. And I think that was a pivotal moment, because before that, we were both on different career paths and trajectories, focused around living in the city and, post graduating from college and starting our families. And so the pivotal moment was actually leaving that comfort of the buzz and hype of the city and moving to the quiet suburbs.
Yeah, I think that's 100% true. That was our first big move, because had we not independently done that, we would never have met. We would never have found a need in our suburb of Westport to open this crazy idea. And so that was probably the first. Yeah, that's the first big one.
Okay. I love that. So much transition and change all at the same time. And It seems like it just made so much sense for you guys. And I can really relate to that coming from city to suburb living myself right now. And right, just trying to figure out your sort of career path in a whole different environment.
Well, it was also being moms. I think, you know, obviously, you know, part of the move from city to suburb was for the kids, you know, like we had both had small children. And so that move becomes less about you and more about your family. And that's a big shift too, as a woman, just as some, you know, we both had careers, robust careers in the city, and then we both became moms and then we both moved to the suburbs. So saying simply, oh, we moved to the suburbs, she's, you know, you're 100% correct. Part of that was also you had three under three.
Yeah.
And I had two. Well, no, I had one when I moved. So, and now I have two. But I think for us, that's such a big piece of the story, is that we became moms and then having to figure out like that silly, silly word of balance in the suburbs as opposed to the city too.
Yeah. And I'd love to like really get into that feeling of, you're out in the suburbs, you have two or three kids each, right? You're trying to start your business. What is going on for you emotionally? Like, what are you sort of turning to in those moments? I can imagine there were a lot, and I realized this was years ago, but what were you sort of going through emotionally? Is there anything that you leaned on for support in particular during those sort of trickier times, right? Because I know I'm really feeling that myself with having two kids and just trying to figure it out.
A lot of the business came out of confusion and honestly, like some pain of trying to figure out like who we were. I think I leaned a lot on Dana. I found in her somebody that understood being a kind of like adrenaline. Well, you weren't an adrenaline junkie at the time, but being somebody who really wanted to stay at home, but also had this like guilt around me of, I want to do more, even though it was so hard.
The confliction.
Yeah. I think that was why, like in building the business, I just leaned a lot on Dana at the time.
Well, I think when I first moved to the suburbs, I met a lot of other females who had careers and now were choosing to be stay at home, full time parents. And I thought that was the track that I wanted as well. But, after a pretty short period of time, I was, to bring back that word, I was conflicted, because I did like and felt fortunate to be at home with my kids, but I felt that I was missing something in my life. So when I met Julie, we shared that connection and the drive, and we really set out to do something part-time and almost as a hobby, more so that we could be connected and we could do something together, and we really didn't know where it would take us and where we are.
Yeah, I think one of the first moments was, you know, I just had to leave every 2 hours to get my daughter at preschool. I mean, preschool was like 20 minutes long. Like I couldn't even.
By the time you get home, you have to go back.
I was like, why am I even driving? The whole thing was wild. And yeah, it was a long time ago, but we've now raised children interior to this. And we never sought out to build something to the scale that we did.
Yeah.
We really set out to, I think, find each other, find that camaraderie and find that balance. Doesn't exist at all. I mean, so let's not even, but to find a little bit more that we could also be who we remembered we were while also being moms.
I love that. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about finding the balance, the juggle. I feel like I talk to, and I'm like guilty of this too, of just talking about this with my guests. We're all juggling it all, right? Like it's crazy town, is it not? So can you talk to me a little bit about like, what does balance sort of realistically look like for you? Maybe then with smaller kids and in contrast to now.
Oh my gosh.
We don't want to scare you.
Yeah, out. No.
It's going to be scary.
Easier.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Yeah. 5-point harness, not just a little buckle.
Yeah. This is actually just so you, this is a little secret. This is an easier time.
Yeah. Small kids was easier.
Yeah.
We thought at the time, we were like, oh my God, this is so difficult.
We can't wait for them to get older and self-sufficient. And
no. I think, you know, our CFO, another very powerful woman, said to us the other day, during, to be frank, a crying discussion in our office, which we are transparent about. That's what we do sometimes. She said, you know, as women, we can have it all, just maybe not all at the same time.
Yeah.
And it really resonated with me. I think I was never looking for balance. I don't know that I'm a balance girly. I tend to go wee doo dee. But I think for us, when the kids were smaller, it's almost like the business was another child, and we just kind of treated it as such. Sometimes they needed more attention, needed our focus. But I don't think Dana or I, and you can correct me, ever prioritized our business over our children.
No.
I don't think we ever have, to be frank.
Yeah. I think you have to be kind to yourself and just, you know, I think that's at least how I've dealt with it. I, you know, have been saying, you know, okay, if I drop the ball with something with the kids, you know, it's going to be okay. It's nothing that's like going to change, you know, the trajectory of their life or something like that. But, and I think that they have become, I think they've learned a lot of valuable lessons having moms that are, you know, full-time, you know, working and building a business. And I think that that skill set will help them ultimately. I know at the time they might feel like, oh, mom forgot to do something, or I'm a little upset with them. But I think when they look back, and I know we have very open discussions with our girls, and I have two boys as well. Julie has two daughters, that they will look upon this time. They'll look upon our career as something favorable in their life.
For sure. I mean, for sure. And I think that was part of the reason why we even got started. Ironically, it was for them, even though it was difficult to juggle. I think both Dana and I would rather be busy and happy than wondering what would have happened if we didn't. I think that's typically what the balance of life is. If you're going to say balance, it's about kind of understanding what you're giving up to get, mm-hmm. and what you're getting when you give. You know, we didn't want to give up the opportunity to open our company, and didn't feel we had to. And I think we did hit a lot of hurdles where people would say to us, well, who's going to run the company? And we said, well, we are. And they said, well, who's going to go pick up your kids?
Yeah. You can be in the pickup line, or you can be at your desk, you know?
And those were not our right partners then. Those were not people that understood how we ran our business. And just to fast forward, now that the kids are 16, I mean, you have 18, 16, and 16. Mm-hmm. I have 16 and 14. Oh, man. It goes from physically difficult, mm-hmm. to emotionally difficult. So we've talked about this so much. We talk about this a lot. Parenting changes from the physicality being the primary to the emotional, being there for our kids, being their therapist, being currently kind of, I don't even know the lingo. I have to say, like, okay, queen, like, we have to understand what's going on in the world, which our marketing, you know, director is happy about. But it's really, it's a big challenge to be as present as we need to be in all the areas now, because it's no longer a part-time job. It's no longer, it was never really a hobby, but we thought it might be. And now we're running a not such a tiny business.
Totally. And this is like so helpful. I appreciate the transparency. It makes so much sense to me. The other day I was talking to someone just about the ages of my kids, and I was like, it's total manual labor. Like it's manual. It's like eat, sleep, getting them dressed. Like everything is so hands-on, and it's really helpful to hear like it then shifts to emotional. You're dealing with personalities. You're dealing with so much. So that makes sense to me practically.
Yes.
But I guess when you bring it back to your business, like you said, you are running a full-on hospitality company now. Yes. So you went from opening one location to multiple. So can you kind of talk a little bit about what the evolution was like for the granola bar in that way?
So yes, we opened Westport, and then I would say maybe about a year or so after, we started seriously considering opening a second location. And funny enough, we found a location listed for sale on Greenwich Avenue. And Julie and I went to look at it, and instantly we were like, this is number two, this is it. And I think a lot of people didn't have confidence that we'd be able to do it again. And we were able to do it again, and not only do it, but do it well. And Greenwich just really, we always discuss like Greenwich would be the location that would put us on the map, just because Westport is more insulated and it's more small town vibe versus Greenwich. You have a lot of people, you have people commuting in and things like that. So it really did put a lot of eyeballs on us. And I think it is the reason that we ultimately went on to open more locations.
That's true. That's completely true. And I remember at the time thinking that enough people had said to us, you'll never do this again. You guys don't have any hospitality, but you know, background, your backgrounds don't align. Good. You know, the magic of the granola bar in Westport is you guys, mm-hmm. and you'll never be able to do it again. And that's what drove us. We're like, how dare you? That's not true. I mean, obviously we are magic, but like not, we felt like we had built something that could stand alone. And it could. So there's a lot of parenting metaphors there, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was old enough to kind of be left a little bit Westport, and that we felt like we could step away and start something new. And once you get okay at that, it becomes easier and easier every time in an odd way.
Yeah, you get a confidence. And I think the other thing is, I don't know if it was necessarily intentional, but we built the brand from the consumer viewpoint versus, you know, saying, Julie and I saying, oh, we have this family recipe and we're going to make this product and we're going to sell it. It was more of what we felt was missing when we moved to the suburbs. And so I think that those points really resonated with who ultimately is our customer.
I love that. And I love the piece that you said about confidence and sort of just gaining that over time. You have multiple locations now. I guess it makes me wonder too, any other bigger lessons learned in sort of evolving into this that come to mind?
Mm. Oh my gosh.
Too many to list.
Too many. I mean, I think we can't deny the fact that we're a women, you know, founded and owned and run company. And that is unique to what we do, especially in hospitality, and that we're not chefs, to Dana's point. So I think it took us, how many years do you feel like it took us to really feel like we didn't have imposter syndrome? Like 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it took us an incredible amount of time where I feel like other people might just give themselves title, come up with a brand, open it up, and just have that. We did not feel that ability to even take co-CEO titles to a business we created out of nothing because we felt like we needed to earn it.
We needed to learn every level of the business before we could, I guess,
take formally, those titles. Yeah. And I think it left room in those years. It left room for us to be manipulated, just kind of be confused and not be as clear with ourselves. The brand kind of also reflected that. Mm-hmm. Different logo, a little different feels. And now we feel so much better. And I know this sounds odd, but we feel ownership over something we created 10 years later. So the amount of lessons are too numerous. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe be a book somewhere someday.
Definitely.
For sure. But the lessons are endless, but it's mostly like what, you know, not many businesses get to have that many years of learning. And for some reason, we were able to build enough of a great team around us, lean on those people, leaning and learning all the time to really go through like a PhD program while we did it, while we were open. So once you do that, and then once you survive the pandemic, you almost feel like, okay, I can take what's coming next. Not necessarily as parents, but as business owners.
Totally. It's almost like you've built that resiliency together. And so that also leads me to my next question about your dynamic, your partnership that's obviously been so successful. What's that been like? And any tangible tips for somebody who's maybe working alongside a friend and how to kind of balance the business and the relationship? Or what does that look like?
For us, well, I'll speak for me, the entire business leans on the love between Dana and I. If it is fractured at all, if there is tension, everything stops until we fix it. Everything stops. And I think we've done a really good job. at taking care of each other first and foremost. That if I feel Dana needs something different out of the business or out of me, I will say, like, let me do something different. It really is very similar to any committed relationship mm-hmm. that you would have that's healthy. I think we have a very healthy relationship. What doesn't exist in our company is ego. I think because we came from different industries and come to the table with different abilities, we're different kind of parents. We don't come to the table with ego. My way is this. It's really very vulnerable and very human. And so I always say to Dana, like, we check in with each other all the time. Our favorite times are actually on a Sunday. I'll be like, can I come over and just be human together and not talk about our business? That lasts about 35 seconds until we talk about it.
Then she gets inside the house.
Yeah. And then I come in. But, like, I genuinely love her to a degree that's like, it's like she's my sister. Sorry to Tammy, who is her actual sister, because, like, we definitely have a competition going. But the point is like, that has to come first or everything else gets fractured and people will not feel the energy. And when you come into the granola, I'm almost done, the hospitality and the warmth that people feel, they're like, where does that come from? Mm-hmm. I believe that's at the core between Dana and I.
I think stylistically, we are very different, but at the core, we're very similar. I think we share an unbelievable need for laughter and levity and just, you know, really, I think we like to connect with people, albeit on different levels and different ways. So I think that our partnership has worked because we are very different in terms of how we address things or we process things. And so oftentimes we may be on either ends of the spectrum and then we both wind up coming together and finding the path forward aligned. So it may not start that way, but it usually ends that way. I mean, I think there's only been maybe a handful of times where that hasn't been the case. But so I often think if we were both more similar one way or the other, it probably would not have worked.
Absolutely. And, like, while you both are talking, it just makes me think you are both so self-aware in your relationship too, like, as business partners. Is that something that's natural or can that be learned? Because I feel like that, I mean, that alone, like, you understand each other's dynamics. You're very self-aware. You can, like, reflect back to yourself. Like, I feel like that's really important.
I think that's, if you're in hospitality, I hope you feel that I understand you when you come into the restaurant. I think it's a skill we both have. Dana is a natural connector. I am more of a natural leader and adrenaline junkie. But yes, I think we're both keenly aware that, like, being reflective and being flawed is so important here. And I think that's what you're hearing too, is our own ability to see our flaws. And in doing so, we create a team of people that can be flawed, can make mistakes. There is no...
Can come in our office and cry.
Yes. Yeah. Can come in our office, male or female, can come in our office and cry. Mm-hmm. And that's so real, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. not the way everybody runs a business. We do question, like, we talked about it last week, like, as we grow and as we become a bigger company, like, can we remain ourselves? Can we remain true to ourselves and true to our friendship? And that's really going to be chapter 14, right, in the book. We don't know because yeah. we're able to run a business that we've never done before. Every step we do now, we've never done before. So that's really the fun of it, the fear of it, and the human, kind of the humanity of it. So if we bring people in, we interviewed somebody a month ago and she's like, I just want to be honest. I've never done this before. And I was like, neither have we. So I think for us, I think being human is so important. You know, I've had bosses before and it wasn't so great. So I would like to be a nice, good boss.
And so, I mean, both of you have had such success together in growing this company. Are there any tangible tips to your success that you would want to offer? Something that has just helped you? And it can even be like on a day-to-day, something that you do, whether it's a habit or just I don't know, a mindfulness act, like anything that has really helped you in your business?
Mindfulness, patience. Sometimes things don't start out the way they're intended to, and you have to give, you know, you have to give it time. For me, I think
resilience.
Yeah.
I think we could have kind of, you know, waved the white flag many, many times during this. And I think, again, that feeling of like, oh, but there's more to do, but there's more to do. I think actually that could be a negative, but I think being real is just so important to this process. Not pretending. We never pretend like we know something we don't. And I think we both also have really supportive spouses,
yes,
that we can lean on. And I think that's very important to have, to not have to do it all the time.
I think that's absolutely 100%. That if you're asking, you are asking for your viewers or your listeners, in terms of something to have a support system, because you cannot, I think that was the answer to the balance question too. You cannot do any of it if you don't have somebody or a group of people who are supportive of what you're trying to do. It just won't work.
It really won't. And even your own children understanding at some level, like, this is what makes me, and you, I think having that support, being able to have, for both of us husbands, that wind us up and say, go, you've got this, as opposed to kind of holding us back, is like, we don't reflect on that often enough.
True.
But it's a huge piece of being able to come home and not be, God forbid, reprimanded or told, what did you do? You know, like, why isn't this done? None of that. There's no punitive kind of energy around us when we're, you know, even when we're failing.
Yeah.
Like during the pandemic, it wasn't as if we were like, see, told you. I mean, there was none of that. but people can have that, right?
Yeah.
And we feel very blessed to not.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. And I couldn't agree with you more. Like, you need that support system. You need that person to fall back on when you sort of leave your work at the desk, even though, like, I'm sure that does not happen. I mean, you're probably like me in the way that I work for myself. I'm constantly, the wheels are in motion. And for you, that's got to be like 10 or 20 fold.
It's hard. It's hard for our husbands. They just actually, played a round of golf with two of our corporate guys, and they finally got in the car and were like, okay, when our wives come home, they don't want to talk about work. So tell us everything going on. And they said it was like the greatest. They were so happy they were even in traffic because our husbands came home and were like, this is fantastic. Because by the time we get home, we're pretty depleted and there's not much to give some days. And they've been heroic in that way.
As kind of one of my final questions, like, what lights a fire in you? Why do you guys do what you do? What's at the core of the Granola Bar mission? Like, tell us everything.
The people. It starts with Dana, and it goes to our team, every employee that we're able to touch and change their lives in a positive direction.
And our customers.
That's it. Our customers are a reflection of us. We are our customers. So, yeah, I mean, I love this. I mean, I love my job. Not every single minute of every day, but I love my job. I love coming in and laughing and crying. They're the same, right? There's two sides of the same coin. Those who, laugh a lot, cry a lot.
Yeah.
that really lights a fire, is being able to now bring what we've created to a bigger audience. It's always like, we're actually hilarious in that we'll go eat at one of our restaurants and be like,
food's good here.
Food is good.
Yeah.
Like, we're always surprised. Like, oh my God,
we'll go to like a different location.
We're like, where else can you get this?
Yeah. We eat probably 80% of our weekday meals in Westport. So we'll go to a different location. We're like, wow. Or when we started doing dinner, we're like, this is what I want to eat for dinner.
Well, of course, because we made it up. But like, we're surprised. It's almost like we get out of our bodies and we become customers so quickly, like in our own restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I can't go out to eat anywhere else. Like, I'm not a customer in that way. But we have our own restaurants. Funny enough, we become customers. And then we're like, oh my God, dinner is so good. in rye. How is that? And Darien. And we're like, yeah, we set it out that way.
But
we're
always cocktails.
We're like, wow.
At the granola bar.
So clearly, for all of this talk about our humanness, we love food.
We
are huge foodies. And so that's also what lights our fires, seeing, like, we took photographs yesterday and our director of marketing, Meg, was sending us pictures. And we were like, oh my gosh, it's so exciting. It's so exciting to let people have fun. And that's at the core of it. We just want people to have fun. We need more fun in this world.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Mm-hmm. So what is coming up next for you ladies? I've heard a little birdie telling me about an upcoming launch. Is there anything you guys want to share with us before you go? And also, I need some like favorite cocktails. What am I ordering at the Rye location? I need some like recommendations.
Okay. Well, Rye and Darien. It's not just Rye. And so our big announcement, which is very public, is we're opening in New York City on the Upper West Side. Both Julie and I actually lived, well, Julie lived more.
I know you,
Southern
Lincoln
West Side,
Square.
Lincoln
area.
Square. I actually lived for 12 years, very close by to the location that we're opening. Used to frequent the former restaurant that was in the actual space, which is completely trippy.
Yeah.
But we are very excited. We're opening 551 Amsterdam Avenue between 86th and 87th Street. We're very excited to, at our 10-year mark, you know, bring it full circle. We left the city, came mm-hmm. to the suburbs, opened in the suburbs, and now we're opening in the city. So that's very, very exciting. And
more to come in New York
yeah,
City.
Yeah, more to come
New
York City.
That's really like our second home. We feel so obsessed. And that's the other thing, like, just like we'll eat our food, be like, this is amazing. Every time we go into the city, we're like, ah, it feeds our soul in a different way. It brings us back to who we were and who we hopefully will be, right? And it's a really dynamic evolution.
It's a cool evolution.
It
yeah.
really is. It's emotional for us. I'm sure we'll be crying, laughing.
we'll definitely be crying.
Yeah. We're opening next to Barney Greengrass, where I just remember having brunches as a young woman there. Like, it just is what it is. I mean, I'm still a young woman. But anyway, that's what's going on. But tell her what alcohol to drink, Dina.
I mean, there's two drinks. That we have a lot of really great cocktails. And I tell you, every time someone has drinks at our restaurants, and I'm not, you know, being braggadocious here, but they say these are the best cocktails I've had outside of New York City. So I take that as a huge compliment. But my personal, I think our cucumber martini, I do it with gin, is like the best of the best. And I've turned several people onto it and they agree with me. I also, if I'm feeling a little spicy, I like our spicy Paloma.
Oh, yes.
We do like a really nice level of spice and it's just really delicious. And we use the Fever Tree grapefruit. It's really amazing.
Number one seller though.
Number one seller
is our spicy hibiscus margarita. Number one seller, probably because each person has five. That could be why.
Yes. It is a delicious drink.
Yeah. And delicious. And I think because we're known for coffee, we're starting to do daytime drinks like hard iced lattes. So that's super fun.
A hard Turkish.
Right.
Delicious.
An iced matcha with alchohol in it. Like, that's delicious.
The chai, I think. The chai is my favorite.
Don't get us started.
I love that. I mean, hey, you had me at Paloma and margarita and like your hot Turkish latte just as like a morning coffee drink is my number one. So, I mean, you got this. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, I love the story and I love like how everything came full circle for you guys and you're going back to opening in New York. So I love it all. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. This was an amazing conversation with you two. Before you leave me, where can everyone find you on Instagram, find your locations? How do we keep up with you?
Yeah, the good news is, because we've hired the right people, it's all the Granola Bar. Thegranolabar.com, at the Granola Bar. You'll see all of our catering and all of our menus up at the Granola Bar. We do amazing catering, by the way. Just a shout out to Dana's department. But I think that, the Granola Bar. And you can find us at Granoli Girls because, you know, we have like, what, 7 followers now?
I think we're holding at like 2,800.
We do a little behind the scenes of what it's like for us some days, crying and laughing. We should call it at crying, but that's probably somebody else's handle. But yeah.
But yeah, Going into the launch of New York City, you'll probably see a lot more of us online.
And also, you guys are selling yourself short because your posts have me in stitches. You are an absolute riot. You're like in the car together, putting on your lip gloss, like talking about going to the office. And it's just a riot. So I have to say, go follow the Granoli Girls. I will link out to all your socials in the show notes. And thank you again. This was lovely. And I can't wait to see you in Westport.
Yes.
Thank you.
Amazing. Let us know when you move. Exactly.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you found value from this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review, and tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at mroberts.m. We always love connecting with you, and we'll catch you next time.